Welcome to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. I'm Dale.
And I'm John.
So in episode 11, we discuss data gathering and assimilation in the investment grade audit process. Owners have assembled and shared with their ESCO partner utility data and site-specific information. The ESCOs have done the field study and gathered nameplate data and begun the artful task of reconciling the load disaggregation to the actual load inventory. As a reminder, we continue to follow the process to collect and present preliminary findings as found in the Energy Services Coalition documents at energyservicescoalition.org/model-instruments.
That's right, Dale. At this point in the process, the ESCO has received a lot of information, all of which is absolutely essential to do their in-depth calculations and feel confident in accurately determining the current utility use as well as what the potential utility and utility cost savings would be based on their recommended upgrades. In addition to the technical information, any specific issues that may have been brought to their attention by the owner, such as comfort or ventilation issues, or some equipment that is hobbling along to its end of life, just to name a few, are examined. Now is when the ESCO digs deep and evaluates if indeed those issues do exist, and if so, why, and ultimately develop appropriate solutions. I can tell you from my experience as an engineer in an energy service company, this is where the fun begins, at least for the ESCO energy engineers, arriving at an initial assessment of potential energy conservation measures. Through experience, ESCOs have learned there are a number of energy conservation measures, or ECMs, that will usually integrate into a performance contracting project. Often, these measures are given first attention and at this preliminary point can quickly be ruled in or out. Measures such as lighting improvements and lighting controls, indoor and outdoor water and irrigation systems, central building automation systems, either installing a new one or reprogramming the existing one, just to name a few. And there's a myriad more that can also be included. To help expedite this process, it's quite common at this stage of the game, as the field assessments are continuing, that the ESCO engage with experienced specialty contractors to help them out in their surveys.
That's right, John. And when these specialty subcontractors are engaged, they're tasked with more than just an inventory responsibility. They're looking at what actually exists in the field, noting its location and other salient information about the measures. As an example for lighting, while in the field, these specialty subcontractors are likely to be responsible for measuring and recording lighting levels, noting the time and date and the instruments used for the measuring. This would also include things like room numbers and fixture locations. They may even install some sample fixtures to illustrate what the proposed new light levels and light color temperatures might look like. We can't stress enough the importance of having the owner sign off, documenting approval of the proposed fixtures or retrofits or what changes they'd like made.
So once the ESCOs have completed most of their information gathering, it's time to pull out the calculators and come up with initial estimates of potential utility and utility cost savings for the proposed measures. And understand that at this point in time, the whole idea is to develop some credible estimates based on recommendations, their cost to acquire and install, and their potential cost savings. Those cost savings numbers will be derived using the previously developed baseline utility information that was gathered from all the information provided by the owner. Both parties need to realize that at this juncture, everything is preliminary, and these are just good faith estimates.
I agree, John. Something else I know we both agree on is that, you know, the ESCO community is really good at this. Reconciling the loads, engaging the appropriate subcontractors to get the right information, and then searching out the end-use measures that may be a part of the scope of work to remedy long-term concerns, all the while planning on modernizing and making facilities more efficient. Later on, as the project is further developed, some measures may fall out as financially unviable to include. But initially, it's important to include them all, even if some may not save a lot. They should be proposed for the owner to consider. This complete list of observations and potential measures is an important part of how folks today or 5, 10, 15 years down the road will look at these projects. Some measures may make the cut and some won't, but it will always be important to note the activity and the decision making that forms this final project.
And after the initial preliminary look and analysis of estimated costs and estimated cost savings, the ESCO begins to assemble a preliminary package of energy conservation measures and facility improvement measures to be able to present more formally to the owner. The ESCO will also introduce a credible but preliminary, sometimes called indicative, financing interest rate to develop a first glimpse of what a multi-year performance contract may look like, given the preliminary nature of their investigation to date. Note, however, that the financial amortization schedules and finance costs must be provided by financial entities, authorities, or a registered municipal advisor, and it is likely that most, if not all, of the costs and financial information will be slightly different in the final analysis. Now it's time for the ESCO and the owner to actually sit down and review what a potential energy performance contract would look like, given the preliminary analysis. Combining previous experience and perhaps initial estimates from one or more of the proposed subcontractors, the estimated preliminary pricing is put together. Keep in mind the proposed measures in this proposed project would typically and hopefully be conservative from both the cost and savings aspect, and for a good reason. If the ESCO is asked to move forward and do the final analysis on these proposed measures, you want to guard against any negative surprises down the road, such as, oh my gosh, we overstated the savings here and therefore we can't include this measure. That would be a potential disappointment. It's essential that the ESCO and the owner agree during this phase that these costs and savings are indeed conservative and likely will improve should they move forward to the more finalized analysis.
That's a great point you make about pricing estimates, John. Of course, we hope by now that the 3 years of utility data has provided a very accurate look at what utility rates are that can be impacted by this work. But when you start thinking about estimating pricing, you really have to think about what's included in the scope of the replacement of a device or system. As an example, if you're looking at a chiller replacement, is it going to be the chiller of the pumps, the chiller of the pumps in the cooling tower, including the input valves and the outlet valves, or just the chiller alone? Envisioning the entire scope of each measure, where the work starts and where it stops, is a big part of this estimating effort. This means, of course, that prices can't really be totally accurate. They just need to be reasonably close. The ESCO's experience, along with that of their subcontractors, it's really shooting at a good rule of thumb estimate that they can apply for the cost of the work to be considered, along with a reasonable rule of thumb or better to effort to estimate the savings. It's also a crucial time for the ESCO to gather input from the owner regarding subcontractors they may or may not want to consider for this project. The input and experience of the owner is paramount. Who in the past has provided high quality, good value work with good long-term support should be chief among those considered to fulfill this work. Additionally, when these measures begin to get assembled, it's an important reminder that no measure should be suggested to be a part of this project unless there's a preliminary concept on how to prove the savings from that measure. This affords the ESCO the opportunity to include monitoring or measuring costs that go into the cash flow pro forma and specifically requires a methodology for how to illustrate scientifically the measures are able to achieve the avoided costs proposed. This should include not only the measurements to be taken and with which calibrated instruments and when, but the number of fixtures or devices that need to be measured to illustrate with confidence the achievement of the guaranteed goal.
Well said, Dale. That is definitely the process. This brings us, though, to an incredibly important topic, future escalation rates, cost escalation rates, and how those will impact the future costs and utility cost savings for this project. This rate needs to be discussed here and agreed on before moving forward to the final level of analysis. We'll devote additional focus to this concept of rate escalations and their impact in an upcoming podcast. Other issues such as preliminary commissioning plans, training, warranty management should also be discussed now. It also should be clearly understood that once a project moves forward, there will be no change orders to the contract. The scope of the work is actually bound by the calculated guaranteed cost savings or the utility and operational costs avoided and or generated by the project that will pay for the entire scope of work. This is the very foundation of energy savings performance contracting.
Really well said, John. I would add to that, while all this information is, as we've stated, preliminary, this is also a fundamental reason why whatever's proposed by the energy services company should look like a pretty fully defined scope with a guaranteed maximum price to fulfill the work. For state and local users, a guaranteed maximum price really is incredibly important. So that if the labor costs or the material costs come in less than those projected, the reduction in cost must be passed along to the owner. Conversely, if costs turn out to be greater, the owner must be protected from any price increase. And while projects paid for by savings, or actually costs guaranteed to be avoided, is a fundamental of energy savings performance contracting, many states allow some amount of capital contribution to the project. These dollars can make a big difference in the project supporting a comprehensive scope of work and services, and can attend to some costly longer payback measures, or even include things like resiliency measures that may otherwise not financially fit into your performance contracting project. Capital improvement measures may not pay for themselves in avoided cost that can be foreseen. But on the other hand, resiliency measures are all about avoiding the extraordinary costs from the unforeseen.
Now it's time for the results of the ESCO's work to be presented. The owner and the ESCO sit down and start the process of reviewing the preliminary findings, determining which measures to include, which must be eliminated in an important decision-making exchange intended to build the final investment grade audit. When this important meeting is over, each party should walk away with a clear understanding of what additional study or analyses, information gathering, etc. is required to move forward to fully develop a project for consideration.
Yeah, these meetings really are so very important. If they're underemphasized or not held at all, the parties are likely not to be on the same page about which project measures to include and next steps. In these rare instances, this generally leads to an extension in the amount of time, effort, and investment to come to a final project, or in worst case, frustration or even termination of the IGA agreement. That's why following a guide like the ESC model documents is so critical for the success of all. Well, that wraps up our little discussion of the early stages of IGA development. In our next podcast, we're going to get a bit deeper still in terms of the depth of analysis required to develop a full set of measures that fit the owner's criteria, both technical and financial. GESPCU. See you next time.